Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Kuf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the very top line of Kuf Zayin in Zvachim, we notice at the beginning of the line a crown marking with a number 3 positioned to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, also in a crown form. 3 indicates that we're in the middle of a series that was featuring these crown forms. This series began on Kuf Vov Omid Aleph. And we indicated in our Mivneh marking over there that these are answers to the question, Azhora Minolan. From where do we know that the Torah provides an Azhora for the Avera, for the violation of the restriction of Shechitas Chutz, of slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash? We know in the Torah that there's a pasuk that accounts for the Einish, but we don't have a pasuk, as of yet, that accounts for the Azhara. We've seen two approaches till now, and we're now about to embark on a third approach. Rava Omar, the top line, Kidda Rabbi Yonah. The Omar Rabbi Yonah, Asya Shom Shom. The word Asya means it comes, namely a Gezerah Shava, a word comparison between the words Shom. Ma Lahalon Lo Onash Elim Kain. He is here, just like over there in the case of Ha'alo. We already demonstrated on Kuf Vav Amid Aleph in our Gemara that as far as the offering up of sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, there is, in addition to the Oinesh Pasuk, the punishment Pasuk, there is also an Azhara Pasuk, a Pasuk that indicates there is a negative command. Afkan, so too, within the realm of Shechit, of slaughtering, Lo Onash Elim Kain He's here. Just like there is an Oinesh Pasuk, one is to understand that the Torah is also providing a lav, is also warning against doing it. Let us take a look at the Rashi at the very top line. Hochi Garsinun, the Omar Rabbi Yonah, Omar Kro. And here Rashi provides the pasuk that we did not see in the Gemara itself. The Gemara mentioned that there was a Gzeirah Shavah, a word comparison concerning the words Shom. So in this pasuk you see Shom Ta'ale Oiloisecha V'Shom Ta'aseh. Rashi explains, and that, by the way, was Pasuk Yud Beis, Devorim Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Dalet. We've provided this Pasuk in the margin. You can see it says in the Pasuk, Ki'im b'mokim asher yivchar Hashem ba'achad shevotecho, shom ta'aleh oloisecho v'shom ta'aseh, kol asher onochi mitzaveko. Pasuk says that the only place for offering sacrifices will be in the chosen place, which eventually becomes Yerushalayim, where the Beis HaMikdash is built. There you shall offer up your sacrifices, and there you shall do them. So you see offering up and doing. The Rashi explains, Iska Shar Asiyos La'Allah. The other doings, the other actions that are involved in the offering of a sacrifice are compared to Ha'Allah. Ha'Allah has to do with offering up, putting on a fire in an attempt to offer a sacrifice. Ma Ha'Allah Lo Anash Elim Kain is here. Just like we find by Allah, as we showed in the Gemara Daf Kuf Vav Amid Aleph, that there is no Oinish unless there is also an Azhara. The Gemara showed two Psukim for that. Av Shechita Lo Anash Elim Kain is here. So too, the Azhara seems to be understood by the mere fact that there is an Onish. But we're able to say that by virtue of the fact that there is a Gezerah Shavah comparing the other Asios, including Shechita, to Ha'Allah. Let's not forget, let's bear in mind, we're dealing with a very specific issue right now. We're looking for a source that would constitute an Azhara dealing with the prohibition of Shechitas Chutz. So the Gemara continues, Ashkechon Muktere Pnim Shehel Anachutz. The topic that we've just discovered is that there is a Moker for Shchutei Chutz when you're dealing with something that was Omei, that was destined to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that, what do we mean by something that would have been destined to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash? That is a case where the sacrifice was slaughtered inside and then offered up outside. The reason we're convinced that we're talking about that situation, namely korbanos, sacrifices that were destined to be brought inside, is because the pasuk by Ha'alah says ve'el pesach oil moed lo yivienu, that it wasn't brought to the pesach moed, which indicates it's something that could have been brought to the entrance to the namely into the azorah. Now, what kind of korban is that which was offered outside but could have been offered inside? That's a korban that was slaughtered in the azara. So that covers one type, that's one kind of halo aschutz, but that doesn't address, what about the following? So let's go over that point again. So that comment of the Gemara of Ashkichon Mukhtarei Pnim Shelon Lechutz, that's as far as halo aschutz of things that were shechted in the Beis HaMikdash. Mukhtarei Chutz Shelon Lechutz Minayin, how do I know that there is a prohibition against the offering up of sacrifices that were shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, which actually is much closer to our topic, namely the topic of Shchutei Chutz, things that were slaughtered outside, that if they are to be offered up outside, that would also be an Isser of Haluas Chutz. So to answer this question, we provide a geometric form. You notice a house form, and in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading, you see the houses are Mekuros Lechiyuv al Shchutei Chutz, Benosaf al Shchutei Pnim She'elon Bachutz. We're going to find sources for those things that were slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash, that were offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash, in addition to that which we already mentioned, things that were shechted inside and offered up outside. So, Omar Rav Kahana, Omar Kro, Ve'aleim Tomar. That's a posuk, and that's posuk Ches in Vayikra Yud Zayin. This posuk is positioned very right next to the Parsha of, you have the Parsha of Halol and the Parsha of Shchutei Chutz next to each other. Al Hasmuchim Tomar. Let's go over this point again. This Pasuk Ches is the beginning of what's known as the Parsha of Halol. Before that, there was the Parsha of Shchutei Chutz, the section dealing with slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash. And the fact that Halal, the Parsha of Halal, is positioned next to the Parsha of things shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, we understand that the prohibition of offering up sacrifices that were slaughtered outside, initially slaughtered outside, is also a violation. Let's, before we go further in the Gemara, let's just take accounting of what we've done so far. At the top of the Gemara, we accounted for the Azara for Shchutei Chutz. As we went on in the Gemara, we dealt with the issue of what things are prohibited in terms of Ha'aloas Chutz, of offering up outside. We pointed out that the more obvious case of Halal would be the case of something that was shechted in the Beis HaMikdash and then offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash. What about the case of something that was initially slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash? Is that also under the prohibition of Halo Aschut? So, Rav Kana says, yes, based on this Pasuk Valeim Tomar, that case as well, something that was initially shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, is also under the prohibition of being offered up outside. The Gemara asks, Maskif lo rova miksiv ve'alehem. Does the word that we just cited appear with an ayin, which would mean an on that, namely that the parsha of Shchutei Chutz is relevant to be attached onto the parsha of Haloas Chutz? But it doesn't say that. Ve'alehem tomar, it's spelled with an aleph, and the word aleph means, and unto them you shall say, you shall address them. So how do we see from Hannah cited that Haloas Chutz applies to things that were shechted, that were slaughtered outside as well? Elo, so we have the second stage of this analysis. Kedetona debei Rabbi Yishmael, v'aleihem tomar, the emphasis is on the Vav, la'arev parshios. The Vav is a connecting type letter. That, in other words, the Torah was speaking about Shchutei Chutz, and we are to continue the topic of Shchut Echutz into the topic of Halo'as Chutz, in telling us that the Chiyuv of Halo applies to things that were shechted outside as well. So the emphasis in this drosha is on the Vav that we squiggle underlined, as you can see with the markings. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Asyo Havo Havo. Rabbi Yochanan says there's a Gzera Shava to be learned, using the words, the word of Havo, which you find in Psukim Dalid and Posuk Tes in Vayikra Yud Zayin. Ma Lahalon Mukter Echutz, just like the latter parsha, the in Posuk Tes, you're dealing with the offering up of things that are slaughtered, that are dealing with the offering up outside, and that's a prohibition. Afkan, so too, with regard to Shita, you're to understand Mukter Echutz. You're talking about the offering up of things that were shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash and being offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash. We have a little arrow provided to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see with a Kuf Vav Amid Beis note. If you look back to Kuf Vav Amid Beis, and you find at the lower part of the page an arrow with a Kuf Zayin Amid Aleph reference, there you can see where Rabbi Yochanan is cited as well, saying, Asya Havo Havo. It's the same reference. Maskif Lo Rav Bevai. Rav Bevai asks, if in fact there's an additional prohibition of Haloas, Shchute of Halo, of the offering up of those things that were sacrificed outside the Beis HaMikdash, in addition to the prohibition of offering up those things that were sacrificed inside the Beis HaMikdash, we can say with confidence then there are two types of Ha'aloh violations. The prohibition of Ha'aloh Shrutei Pnim, and the Isur of Ha'aloh Shrutei Chutz. If that be the case, Ha'odisnan, that which is taught in Maseches Krisus, Shloishim V'sheish Krisus B'Torah, there are 36 different types of averas that result in the penalty of Kores. One of them is the penalty of Haloas Chutz, of offering up sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. But if that's be the case, Talosin V'shev Havyon, there really should have been 37 accounted for. The Iko Hama'ale V'Hama'ale. There are two kinds of halal that in effect would add one to the list. Kashya, this point is a difficulty. It remains that way. The Gemara goes on to another discussion. Before we go further, we have a new geometric form, and let's take note of it by glancing at the outside margin. We have a nosei, mivneh heading. So we have a bow tie. And we also have numberings, by the way, that you see in the space immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a 1 over here, and lower down on the page, you'll see a number 2. Of the note says, Avodos Noisofos, additional sacrificial activities. Ma dino mimnasu b'chutz, what is the law regarding them if they are done outside the Beis HaMikdash? We'll discuss Hazorek Dam b'chutz. Chayov, the one who sprinkles korban blood outside the Beis HaMikdash, he is guilty. Minolan, from where do we know that? And Hakoymitz Mkabel Domin Bechutz Potter, Minolan, one who takes a handful of a meal offering. The action of taking a handful of meal offering with the intent of putting it on the altar is one of the sacrificial activities in the offering of a meal offering. And Mkabel Domin is the receipt of the blood of a sacrificed animal, receiving the blood in a receptacle. That's called Kabbalah Dam. Let us say one of these two activities, Koimetz or Mekabel Dam, is done outside the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to tell you that it's Potter, and we'll want to know from where do we know that. So we continue back in the Gemara. V'hadisnan hazorek miktas damim b'chutz chayov minolan. That which is taught, that one who sprinkles part of the blood outside the Azorah, he's chayov. From where do we know that? Nafgolei midasanya. That can be derived from the following Tanaic source. We're going to see in this source a machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva as to what in fact is the scriptural source for this offense. So the source begins, Dam Yechoshev. That's Vayikra Yudzayin Pasuk Dalid. L'rabois Hazorek. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. This includes, in addition to slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash as being a prohibition, so too the issue, by the way, of slaughtering, one could see in Pasuk Gimel, where it said, Asher Yishchat Shor Keves O'ez, O Kesev O'ez, Machno Asher Yishchat Michutz LaMachane. In Pasuk Dalid, you'll see this expression of Dam Yechoshev Lishahu. Therefore, we see that this issue of outside the Beis HaMikdash not only concerns Shechita, but also Zrikas Adam. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Oy Zavach. There's a pasuk that says in the pasuk Ches in Vayikud Zayin mentions Asher Yale Oyle Oylo Oy Zavach. So the expression Oy Zavach LeRabois Es Hazorek. That includes the offense of doing Zrikas Adam outside the Beis HaMikdash. So in the meantime, we have Rabbi Shmuel saying the source for Zrikas Adam Bachutz is found in Pasuk Dalet, and Rabbi Kiva says the prohibition of Zrikas Adam Bachutz is found in Pasuk Ches. For Rabbi Shmuel, Hai Oy Zavach Mai Ovid Lei, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with the Pasuk that Rabbi Kiva cited? Answer, L'chalek, to itemize, or to separate. What do we mean by that? One should not think that since the pasuk says Asher Yale Oyle Ozovach, that one is not guilty unless he offers both an Ola and a Zovach. Zovach, in this case, a reference to a Korban Shlomim. Comes along this pasuk of Oy Zovach telling me that it's either or. Even if you do one of them, you do the Korban Ola or a Korban Shlomim, you do it Bachutz, there is guilt. Rabbi Kiva Lechalik Menoleh, where does Rabbi Kiva learn this point of distinguishing, of itemizing? Answer, Nafgale mi lo yevienu. That expression, lo yevienu, is in the singular, so it's mashma, one, that for even doing one, one will be guilty. Rabbi Shmuel hahu mi boyaleh, Rabbi Shmuel learns that from the pasuk of lo yevienu, the following, al hasholem hu chayav, vienu chayav al hachotzer. The violation of Halo'as Chutz concerns only one who offers up a complete entity, not something that is lacking. What is meant by a complete entity would be either, and there are a couple of different explanations for this, but it's either a complete animal, it's one opinion, or a complete limb. But according to either one of these opinions, if that which is being offered is lacking, is missing, some meat is missing from it, then there would not be a penalty of Halo'as Chutz. Rabbi Kiva Naftalei, where does Rabbi Kiva learn this idea of Hashalem? Mi la'asois oisoi. And that expression of oso, it, means it when it is complete. Rabbi Shmuel, now according to Rabbi Shmuel, if now I would possibly have two sources for the idea of that for Shalem one is exempt, that for lack of Shlemus one is exempt. According to Rabbi Shmuel, we saw this idea of this idea learned from Lo Yevienu, and Rabbi Kiva's pasuk also could be understood thusly of Lasos Oso. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Rabbi Shmuel, Chad leMukdarei Pinim Shechosru Velo Bechutz, Chad leMukdarei Chutz Shechosru Velo Bechutz. In fact, I need both exclusions. One is to exclude from penalty, namely to free from penalty, one who offers outside something that was slaughtered inside and then became lacking and offered up outside. And the second pasuk is to exclude the case of something that was slaughtered initially outside the Beis HaMikdash and then became lacking. Something got chipped off or cut off of the limb or the animal and was then offered up. In both of those cases, Rabbi Shmuel will pater. It's noteworthy that Rabbi Shmuel's exemption would be more extensive than Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva would seem to hold that the exemption applies only to one of the cases. Let us take a look at the Rashi on the fourth line, under the wide lines under the Gemara. Chad lemukdarei pnim, The ikas of chad, had I had only one exclusionary expression, havamina animili, when is there an exemption for something that's lacking? That's mukdere chutz, something that was slaughtered initially outside the Beis HaMikdash. Aval, mukdere pnim, but something that was slaughtered initially in the Beis HaMikdash, mechayev. There I would hold guilty, even if it became lacking, even if something became missing from it. Da madrinan pokin, the chosru, in the case of something placed on the Mizbeach in a, under normal circumstances, it started burning and then it flipped off the Mizbeach, got like sort of in the burning process it jumped off the top of the Mizbeach in the crackling fire, we put it back on the Mizbeach. So what in effect are you putting back on the Mizbeach? Something that is currently lacking. That's the case under normal circumstances. So we would, if I had only one source, I would say that only when is there an exemption for chisaron? That's only concerning something that was slaughtered initially outside, but something that was slaughtered in the azora. There is actually precedent for being maktir for offering up something that's choser. Turning back to the Gemara, Vahatanya, this Vahatanya, in effect, is a support for that which we just taught. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yochal Mukdere Pnim Shechosu Ve'elu Bechut Tzchayav, might one thing suggest that something that was slaughtered in the Azara and became Choser, became lacking, and then was offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash, that one would be Chayav? Tamulomar la sois oisoi. Al hashonaim chayav eino chayav ala choser. That one is chayav for halos chutz only on something that's complete, not something that's lacking. Rabbi Kiva, mukhtre pinim shechoser ala chutz chayav. Rabbi Kiva holds that very case, if it was slaughtered initially in the Beis HaMikdash and then it became lacking and offered up outside, in fact, is carries with it guilt. So that when we saw before that Rabbi Kiva has an exclusionary source concerning a choser, that will be true only with something that was slaughtered initially outside the Beis HaMikdash and then became lacking and was offered up. That Rabbi Kiva would concede is exempt. But something that was slaughtered initially in the Beis HaMikdash and then offered up outside, Rabbi Akiva would say, in fact, is guilty. Rabbi Akiva, now what happens, the Gemara turns to Rabbi Akiva and asks, what does he do with Rabbi Shmuel's source? The source that Rabbi Shmuel used for Zrikas Mixas Dome Bachutz. By the way, we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to help you find where this is coming from. Namely, the Gemara is going to now ask, of what does Rabbi Kiva do with the Pasuk of Dam Yechashev? You can see with the arrow positioned further up on the page that Dam Yechashev was, in fact, Rabbi Shmuel's source for the penalty of Zorek Bachutz, for the violation, that there is a prohibition of sprinkling blood outside the Beis HaMikdash. So, turning to the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, hi, Dam Yechashev, my Ovid Lei. So, what does Rabbi Kiva do with that Pasuk, which was Rabbi Shmuel's source? Answer, the Rabbi's Shchita So'oif. This Pasuk comes to include a prohibition of slaughtering a sacrificial bird outside the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shmuel learns the violation, the prohibition of slaughtering a sacrificial bird outside the Beis HaMikdash from that pasuk. Rabbi Akiva, Omer Loch, Rabbi Akiva, in looking at this pasuk of Asher Yishchat, Omer Loch, Ha'u mi boy alei, I need that al hashochiru mechul chayev v'loy al hamoylek. That when we speak about the treatment of sacrificial birds outside the Beis HaMikdash, there is violation only for one who slaughters it, uses a knife for slaughtering the sacrificial bird. However, if one does the malika process, which is the insertion of the thumbnail into the neck of the bird, which is actually the correct way of doing it in the Beis HaMikdash, one does not use a knife for the slaughtering of the bird offering in the Beis HaMikdash. Ironically, if that very same process, which would have been correct inside, if that's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, one is exempt Rabbi Shmuel, Nafgale, Rabbi Shmuel learns the exemption for Molek Bachutz, mi ze hadavar, from that particular pasuk, Desanya. And here we have the source that carries with it these source, the Tanaic source that carries with it these references. The Brisa says, Asher Yishchat, Ein li elo shochei behema. I see from this, Asher Yishchat, I would say, only the slaughtering of an animal outside the base. I mean, when we say animal, we're using the term animal to distinguish it from bird. So I see from it, from here, only the slaughtering of an animal outside the base. I mean, shochat oif min olei. From where do I know that there is a violation concerning the slaughtering of a bird outside the base Hamikdash? Tamad lomar oi asher yishchat. So the word oi comes to include the bird. Yachol is that would should one think that there is a penalty af hamoylek for one who does the malika process outside the Beis Hamikdash v'dinhu, and in fact logic would suggest that there should be a violation. Mashchito the ein derech hechsher b'fnim chayov. Mind you, the slaughtering with a knife of a bird, which is not its way of being processed inside the Beis Hamikdash, and yet using the knife in slaughtering bird outside is guilty. Malika shederech hechsher b'fnim. Malika, which is the normal way, or which is the only way of doing it properly inside the Beis Hamikdash, eino din shu chayav. All the more so if done outside, it should be guilty. Tamad lomar ze hadavar. The pasuk is coming to say that there's no chiyuv on malika bachutz. It's a limitation. Only for shchitas oif kotshim bachutz is there a chiyuv. Rabbi Akiva Amar Loch. Rabbi Akiva, what does he do with the zeh hadavar pasuk? Ahu mi boyalei legezera shava. He uses it for a gezera shava that will not be featured in this Gemara, and Rashi himself doesn't elaborate on it because it's a separate sugya, we'll call it an unrelated sugya for the time being, that's found in Maseches Nedarim. V'hodisnan, we go now to the second topic that was listed under our bow tie marking, namely the topic of the taking of a handful or the receiving of the sacrificial blood outside the Beis Hamikdash. V'hodisnan, the following source that teaches HaKrimis from Mekabel Doma Bachutz Poter Min Olan, one who does the kmitza or the receiving of the blood outside the Beis Hamikdash, one is exempt. From where do we know that there is an exemption for these kind of activities? After all, we have been discussing till now a number of activities, three activities, sacrificial activities, that if done outside the Beis Hamikdash would in fact be guilty. We have discussed till now Shritas Chutz, Zrikas Dam Bachutz, and Haluas Chutz. All of a sudden, we come upon these activities, and the source informs us that they are exempt if they're done outside the Beis Hamikdash. One does not bear any guilt for this. From where do we know that? We have a bracketed section. Before we go on in the Gemara, we must say a word about this. After the brackets, the Gemara will respond to this question, namely, Mino Alon. So if you skip the bracketed section for a moment, that takes you to the top line of Omid Beis, and the Gemara there says, Im Kain, Lo Yomar Zriko V'Tesimi Binaya. Lahochik, and then there's a bracket, a parenthesis section that we are going to skip in line with what we see in the Shita Gemubetzes. Lahochik Siv Kro, Lemeimar De Lo Asya Mi Binaya, where the Gemara will tell us that because of the fact that there is a special posuk that's written to tell me about the case of Zrika, that there is guilt for that, the Torah is in effect telling me don't learn these sacrificial activities from a binaya. Binaya means from a tzad hashove limud. So the Torah is announcing that even though there is a possibility of establishing a legal ruling based on a tzad hashava limud. Tzad hashava is the use of a common denominator between two items, and using that common denominator to discover a particular halacha. In this particular section of the Torah, we're going to be telling you that even though there is room for establishing legal rulings through
the discovery of a common denominator, of a tzad hashaveh, here do not use the tzad hashaveh. Of course, it's a bit abstract. We should look at the Gemara now inside. The Gemara, once again, is asking, from where do we know that there is an exemption for one who does kmitzur or kabbalas dam bachutz? The Gemara asks, minolon. Now we look at the bracketed section. From where would you think that there should be guilt? If one is asking, from how do I know that this is innocent, that means that a particular activity is exempt from penalty, there must have been grounds for thinking that there is guilt, that these things should have been guilty if done outside, and we are looking for a source that they are not guilty. So from where would you have thought they might have been guilty in the first place? Answer, teisi mishchita. Maybe we should derive the guilt for koimetz and mekabel from shchita. Namely, just like we see that shchita, if done outside, is guilty, so too, let us hold responsible or guilt-worthy one who does kmitzon kabbalah outside as well. The Gemara says, no, I would never have thought to learn from shchita in the first place. Ma l'shchita, shekein nifselish shelo lochlin bepesach. Shchita, the slaughtering of a sacrifice outside the Beis HaMikdash, carries with it a certain type of stringency that doesn't apply to kmitza and kabbalah. The stringency that one finds by shchita has to do with a korban pesach. Namely, if one slaughters a korban pesach for people that are not fit for eating it, for example, he shechs a korban pesach for a choyla, for a zaken, for an infirmed individual, for an elderly individual that can't eat even a kezias, an olive quantity of meat, that would ruin the korban pesach. That's called a pesach shelo le'oichlov. So that phenomenon of a Pesach becoming ruined because it was done shelo le'ochlov, that is true only with regard to the act of slaughtering shelo le'ochlov. However, if one were to do, let's say, the receipt of the blood, the Korban Pesach blood shelo le'ochlov, that would not ruin the Korban. So we can't learn from Shechita to Kabbalah. The Gemara goes on with another attempt, Teisi Mizrika. Why not learn, just like we see that Zrika's dam bachutz is chayev, so too, koimetz and kabbalah's dam bachutz should be chayev. The Gemara says, no. Mal Zrika, I couldn't possibly learn a stringency of chutz from Zrika to koimetz and kabbalah. Shekein zar chayev ole amisa. That only in the case of Zrika, if a non-kohen does Zrika's dam, he is guilty of misa bidei shamayim, which is not the case in the case of kmitza and kabbalah. They are more lenient. They, even if a czar were to do kmitza or kabbalah sadam, he would not be chay of misa bidei shemayim. It might ruin the korban, but he doesn't carry with it that penalty. Therefore, at this point, kmitza and kabbalah are more lenient than zrika, and therefore, if you tell me that zrika's chutz is chayev, I wouldn't necessarily know that kmitza or kabbalah's dama chutz would be chayev. So the Gemara goes on with a third suggestion. Teisi mi binaya. Why not establish through the method of learning called binaya or tzad hashoveh between shchita and zrika? We find by shchita that chutz is chayev, and we find by zrika that chutz is chayev. And just like by shchita and zrika chutz is chayev, so too koimetz and mekabel chutz would be chayev. At this point, then, we have established a basis for suggesting that kmitza and kabbalah b'chutz should, in fact, be chayav. So the question is, so how do I know that kmitza and kabbalah b'chutz is exempt? The Gemara answers that if your only basis for thinking that kmitza and kabbalah b'chutz should be chayav is from the tzad hashoveh method, in other words, if you were to think that the tzad hashoveh method is legitimate for discovering guilt in this discussion, Well, then the Tzad HaShoveh method could have been used to discover the guilt by Zrika Bachutz. In other words, we know that Shchito, that slaughtering outside, and Halah outside, and the offering up outside of sacrifices is guilty. So could we not have established a common denominator between Shchita and Halah, just like Shchita and Halah, both if done outside of the Beis HaMikdash Chayev? So too, we should assume Zrika too is Chayev outside the Beis HaMikdash. And if that type of conclusion would have been legitimate, then there would have been no need for the pasuk to specify in scriptural form that Zrika Bachutz is in fact Chayev. Why did the Torah go out of its way to spell out a pasuk by Zrika that Zrika Chutz is Chayev when I could have derived it through a Tzad HaShoveh, through Binaya? The fact that the Torah wrote it out by Zrika shows me that you cannot establish the guilt of these sacrificial activities through the Tzad HaShoveh method. And if that be the case, so then I really have no grounds for being Mechayev, Kremitz, and Mekabel outside. Let's read this answer in the Gemara. Im Kain, if the Binaya method would have been sufficient for establishing guilt, Lo Yomar Bezrika, then the Torah would not have had to write a pasuk concerning the sprinkling of the blood outside. V'teisimi Binaya, and I could have derived the penalty or the chiyuv of Zrika, the guilt that Zrika carries with it, through the Binaya, through the Tzad HaShoveh method of Shchita and Halah. And yet the Torah did write a pasuk. Notice we skipped a few lines because of the what's suggested in the Shita Mubetzes. Therefore, the Torah wrote out the pasuk by dam to tell me that it cannot be derived, that the guilt for chutz by dam cannot be derived through a tzad HaShoveh. By the same token, the guilt for Koimitz and Mekabel cannot be derived through a Tzad HaShoveh, like we suggested before, through from Shchita and Zrika. Therefore, Koimitz and Mekabel there is no basis for them being guilty done Bachutz, and therefore they are Potter. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, let us take a look at our topic heading that you see in the outside margin under the heading Nosei. Nosei being the topic, we've included here Shochat, Vizorak, Vehela. These are three sacrificial activities that we have seen till now. If done Bachutz, they are Chayav. What happens if a person does all of these, two of these activities, or all of these activities, in a one state of lack of awareness called Helem Echod? So we've written here in our topic heading, Machloikis Rabbi Avovri Abaye, there is a controversy between these two Amoroyim, Kamo Chiyuvim Mechayvim Rabbi Shmover Rabbi Kiva Basias Kama Voidis Bachutz Pelem Echod Uchid Halon. There's a Machlokis Amoroyim concerning the Machlokis Tanoim that we saw. How many violations will be entailed if a person does a couple of these activities in one state of lack of awareness? Namely, he doesn't discover that he has done anything wrong after the first before he does the second. We have a little chart that features the conclusions of this Gemara. You can see we have in the two columns, you have Rabbi Avo, and next to him is Abaye. Each one of them will present their opinions as to what Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva say regarding the activities that run down the right side of the chart, that include, you have Shochat Vizorak. He does two things in one state of lack of awareness. Let us say he does it unknowingly. So the question is, how many Korban Chatos will he have to bring? If it's one violation, so he'll bring one Korban Chatos. If it's viewed as two separate violations, then he'll have to bring two Korban Chatoses. The other cases involved Zorak Vehela. And then a third scenario will be the third entry on the outside in the right-hand column of that chart. You see, he does all three activities, Shochat, Zorak, Vehela, all in a state of lack of awareness. The issue of how many guilts there will be
How many violations are these considered? Even though there are multiple actions, but as far as numbers of violations are concerned, in order to bind him to the bringing of multiple chatos, this depends on which psukim serve as the sources for which activities. As far as those details are concerned, we're going to suggest that one learns the source material for this controversy by learning the Rashi and taking advantage of the different inclusions that we have on the sides of the Gemara. We have cited the relevant psukim. You can see those have been written in, and there is an additional chart. Turning to the Gemara itself, we have a Roman numeral number 1, and that represents the first scenario, namely Shochat Vizorak, which are underlined at the end of the line. A few lines later, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 2, which features two other the activities of Zorak Vehela. The first is Shochat Vizorak, and this is case of Zorak Vehela. And a Roman numeral number 3, a few lines after that, featuring the three actions done outside the Azora in one state of lack of awareness. So, turning to the Roman numeral number 1, bearing in mind that at each stage we have to notice what Rabbi Avol says and what Abaye says regarding Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. So, Omer Rabbi Avol, Shochat Vizorak, he does a slaughtering and a sprinkling of blood outside the Beis HaMikdash in one state of lack of awareness. Namely, after doing the Shechita, he doesn't realize that he did anything wrong and goes on to do the Zrika in that same state of mind. So the Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Chayav Achas. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he's considered guilty of one offense. That's because Shechita and Zrika, as far as Rabbi Shmuel are concerned, are both derived from the same pasuk. You don't have a separate scriptural reference to these two activities. Therefore, even though they're two separate actions, nevertheless, they incur only one guilt. And when we speak about one guilt, as we said before, that would mean, practically speaking, it would bring only one korban chatos. The divrei Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Kiva, if he does shochat v'zorak b'chutz, chayav shtayim. And that's because, as far as the source for shechita is concerned, that he derives from pasuk dalet. But zrika b'chutz, according to Rabbi Kiva, is learned from pasuk ches. They're two separate psukim. Hence, two separate chiyuvim. Abaye, he disagrees with Rabbi Avol and says, Afilu l'divrei Rabbi Akiva, even according to Rabbi Akiva, eino chayov elo achas. He's chayov only one for doing shechita and zrika b'chutz. D'yomar kro, there's a separate pasuk that says in Devorim, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Yud Dalet, Shom ta'aseh. And if you look on the side of the Gemara where we feature the pasuk, you see it says Ki'im b'mokom ashivchar Hashem be'echod shvatecho shom ta'aleh u'iloisecho v'shom ta'aseh kol asher anochi mitzaveko. And the Gemara explains Hakosuv aso'on l'kulon avoido achas. Rashi, where we have a double star, you'll notice Shom Ta'aleh v'Shom Ta'aseh. The girsa of Rashi includes the part of the pasuk that says Shom Ta'aleh in addition to Shom Ta'aseh. And our Gemara, we only saw the phrase Shom Ta'aseh cited. So Rashi explains Hiskir Ha'lo Levado. The pasuk mentions on the one hand Ha'lo, the offering up, the Hash'ar and the other activities Kolin Basio Achas. They're included as one other activity. When we speak of the other activities, that would include Shechita and Zrika. L'meimra, d'lo mechayev akulhu elo chada. From the fact that all the other asiyas, all the other actions are lumped together, Abaye says that according to Rabbi Akiva, that shows us that even though he does these two actions, shachazok, nevertheless he's chayev only one because they're lumped together under the term Vishom Ta'aseh. So according to Abaye, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, in terms of the number of Chiyuvim are concerned, do not disagree. Continuing in the Gemara, Roman numeral number 2, and this goes back to Rabbi Avol. Zorak Vehelo, he does these two actions, Zrika Sadam, and Halo Aschutz, Ledivrei Rabbi Yishmael, Chayav Shtayim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he's chayav 2. Once again, we find that Zrika is learned from Pasuk Dalet, and Halal is learned from Pasuk Tes. L'divrei Rabbi Akiva, if one does zrikan halo b'chutz in one state of lack of awareness, eino chayev elo achas. He's chayev only one violation, and that's because zrika and halo are learned from the same section of the Torah, the same section that deals with halo. That in the parsha of halo, there was a ribui for zrika sadam, according to Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, since they're both learned from the same section in the Torah, they carry with them, though they are two activities, zrika and halo, only one violation. Abaye Omar, Abaye once again disagrees with Rabbi Avo and says, Afilu l'divrei Rabbi Akiva, not only Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Akiva as well says that for Zorak and Allah, Chayav Shtayim, he's Chayav 2. Why is that? Lahochi Paginu Kra. This is the reason that the Pasuk separated them in Perek Yud Beis of Sefer Dvorim, where it says, Sham Ta'aleh, that's Halah. On the one hand, v'sham ta'aseh, that would be the other activities, including zrika. So halah is separate from zrika. And as a result of that, Rabbi Abaye claims, Rabbi Kiva would concede that there are two penalties, two violations involved. Roman numeral number 3, shochat v'zorak v'helah. If one does all three of these activities, bachus, in one state of lack of awareness, l'divrei hakol, everyone will agree, chayov shtayim, that these involve two separate guilts. Either way you look at it, there is a separate moker for these activities, two separate makoros. And this, of course, you can see by simply reviewing the information on the charts and see how this is established. One more fine point that we want to mention on the chart, and you'll notice on the outside margin, the chart that we have there, we have little circles around particular words. Those are the points at which you have the machlokas between Rabbi Avo and Abaye. And you'll notice the machlokas Abaye and Rabbi Avo concerns Shitas Rabbi Akiva. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara. That indicates that which follows is a new idea. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara presents a Tanaic source that deals with the issue of Shchutechus, slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash. It opens up with a Pasuk, Oy Asher Yishchat Michutz LaMachane. Yochol Chutz L'Sholosh Machnois. Should one think that there's a violation of Shechitas Chutz only if one does the Shechita outside of Yerushalayim? As we've learned in previous Shurim, that constitutes outside the three camps. The three camps known as Machne Shechina, whose parallel is the Beis HaMikdash, Machne Leviya, whose parallel is the Har HaBayis, and Machne Yisrael, the third camp, whose parallel is the city of Yerushalayim. So maybe the violation of Shechitas Chutz is only outside of those three areas. Talmud Lomar, Oy Eiz B'machaneh. In the same Pasuk you see this. And by the way, this Pasuk is cited on the inside margin of our marked Gemaras, Vayikra Yud Zayin Pasuk Gimel. You can see the Pasuk says, Ish Ish Mi Beis Asher Yishchat Shor O Kesev O Eiz B'machaneh O Asher Yishchat Michutz L'machaneh. Let's read that post again. We missed the word. Ish ish mi beis Yisrael asher yishchat shor o kesev o eiz b'machane o asher yishchat michutz b'machane. So from the fact that the expression o eiz b'machane, that shows me that even outside of one camp, namely outside the Beis HaMikdash proper, there is a chiyuv. There is a violation of Shechitas Chutz. Continuing in the source, I b'machane yochal shochet oilu b'dorom yechayav. If we're learning things in the singular, are we to suggest that maybe if one were to shecht a korban ola, an ola sacrifice is supposed to be slaughtered in the northern part of the Azara. Let us say he did it in the southern part of the Azara of the temple courtyard. Would that be chayav mishum shchitas chutz? Talmud lomar, oy asher yishchat michutz l'machane. Ma chutz l'machne miyuchad she'ein ro'ui l'shchitas kol zevach. Just like michutz l'machne is a place that is not fit for the slaughtering of any sacrifice, af b'machane, so too the phrase that appears in the same pasuk, the word b'machane, has to be a situation shein roi lishchidas kol zevach, that is not fit for any kind of sacrifice. Yotzadarom, this is to the exclusion of the southern half of the Azorah, Shafal Pishen Roy Lashidas Kochi Kochim, even though it may not be fit for high level sanctity sacrifices, nevertheless, Roy Lashidas Kochim Kalim, it is fit for the lower sanctity level sacrifices. And therefore, if you do an Ola in the southern part of the Azorah, it's not Chayav Mishum Shchitas Chutz, because the southern part of the Azorah is not like the case of Michutz L'Machne. In the case of Chutz L'Machne, you were dealing with a place that wasn't fit for any kind of sacrifice. In the case of the Dorom, of the southern half of the Azorah, it is a place that is fit for other kinds of sacrifices. Omar Ula, before we go further in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our topic heading, Nosei, Hashoche Kotshim al Gagui Shel Hechal. One slaughters sacrifices on the roof of the Hechal. The Hechal is the enclosed part within the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash. There is a building structure known as the Hechal that contains the menorah and the shulchan and the Mizbeach Azov, as well as the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Aron with the Luchos. Let's say one slaughtered a sacrifice on the roof of the Hechal. Machlekes Ula v'Rava. We'll see a controversy between Ula and Rava as to whether that is considered Shchitas Chutz. After all, the roof of the Hechal is not a place that's designed for Shchitas Korbanos. Omar Ula, Hashochen al Gagoy Shel Hechal, Chayov. One who slaughters a sacrifice on the roof of the Hechal, he is guilty. Just like, since it's not fit for the slaughtering of any kind of sacrifice. We just saw that standard in the source that we just learned. It's Ein Roy for any kind of sacrifice. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Mora text indicating where this phrase was seen earlier in the Tanaic source. It was Miuchad She'ein Roy L'Shchitas Kol Zevach. Maskif Lo Rava Im Kein Nichtoiv Kro B'machane Ve'el Michutz L'machane. The Torah then should have written these expressions V'lo Boi, and I wouldn't have had to add the expression of the El Pesach Oel Moed. El Pesach Oel Moed Lomali. Why does the Torah add that expression? We ought to point out that the psukim that we're dealing with, this El Pesach El Moed was found in Pasuk Dalid. You can see that in the psukim that we included in the inside margin. Pasuk Dalid had said, Vel Pesach El Moed Lo Hevio. What do I need that for? So, El Pesach El Moed Lomoli, Lav Lim Ute Gago, is it not coming to, in fact, exclude the case of the Gag? The Pasuk is, in effect, saying that it's a sacrifice. When is there a Chiyuv Chutz? When he did not bring it to Pesach Omay, when he didn't bring it to the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. That would leave you to think that if he did bring it to the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, albeit it's on the roof of the Hechal, he would not be guilty of Shchitas Chutz. And that, in fact, is what Rava maintains. That Shchita al Gaga Hechal is not Chayav Mishum Chutz. The Gemara asks, well, Ula Rava, Im Kain, Nichtoiv El Pesach O Moed, Bamachane Michutz Lamachane Lomali. According to Rava, would it not have been sufficient to simply write that when is there a Chiyuv of Chutz if he does not bring it to Pesach O Moed? Well, if he doesn't bring it to Pesach Ol Moed, so I realize he is mechutz la'machaneh, or he is ba'machaneh, he's in some other machaneh.
Why does the Torah trouble writing in addition to El Pesach Moed, El Moed, Lo Hevio? Why does it write Ba Machne and Michutz LaMachne? So Lav La Suye Gago, is it not in fact coming to include Gag? Gag HaHechal is being in fact, yes, guilty? Omar Rav Mori, Loi. Rav Mori says no. I'll tell you that in general, Gag HaHechal is Potter, like Rava. What does the expressions of a machne and michutz machne come to include? Asuye, it comes to include the following case. Before we go further in the Gemara, we just want to note that this is the first of two stages in explaining Rav Mori's position. It comes to include asuye kula bifnim v'tzavora b'chutz. If you have a situation where the animal's body is in the azara and its neck is outside the azara and he shechts it, that would be chayav. The Gemara asks, I don't need a pasuk for that. Tzavora b'chutz pshita. The case of the neck outside the azara, amai kopid rachmona ashchita. What is the Torah makbid on in the first place? On shchita. And ushchita b'chutzi. That's an obvious case of the shchita taking place outside the azara. Hence, as far as that case is concerned, it would in fact have been sufficient to simply write El Pesach Oyel Moed Lo Hevio. I don't need Bamachne and Michutz Machne to include that. Ela, rather, Lasuye, I need the psukim of Bamachne and Michutz Machne to include a case that I would not have automatically thought is guilty. The following. Kula Bachutz Vitzarob Savora Bifnim. If the most of the animal of the sacrifice is outside the Azorah, the neck is inside. Even though the neck is inside, nevertheless, this would be considered shchitas chutz. And that's what's derived from the additional expressions of b'machane and l'chutz l'machane. We now have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new idea. We glance at the side of our Gemara under our Nosei heading. Hamale b'chutz b'zman hazeh. One who offers sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash today, nowadays. Nowadays, meaning we're in a time where unfortunately the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, and we want to know what is the din if someone offers up sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash day. Rabbi Yochanan says Chayev, and Reish Lakish says Potter. Machloket zu tluyo al eich poiskin beinyan kedusha rishona. This machlokes, this controversy, will be dependent on how we rule with regard to the issue of the original sanctity bestowed upon the Beis HaMikdash. E kitcha l'shaita bilvad, was it a temporary type of sanctity, namely that when the Beis HaMikdash is around, it bears its sanctity, but upon its destruction, the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash is removed, and therefore the restrictions that the Beis HaMikdash carries with it are also removed, namely the restriction of sacrifices being offered only in the Beis HaMikdash would no longer be binding. If you say that the sanctity was of a temporary nature, oi gam lasid lavo, or do we say that the initial sanctity that descended upon the Beis HaMikdash is of a permanent nature, which would therefore tell us that even though there is no Beis HaMikdash, the sanctity is still there, which would thereby restrict all sacrificial activity to the Harab, to the Temple Mount, to the Beis HaMikdash location, and anything done outside of that would constitute a problem of shchit of chutz, of haloas chutz. Turning to the Gemara, Itmar, Hamale b'zman hazeh, one who offers up sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash nowadays. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayav, Reish Lakish Omar Potter. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayav, that one does bear guilt if he does that. Kedusha Rishon Kitchel Shaito VeKitchel Osud Lavo. The initial sanctity that descended upon the Beis HaMikdash upon its completion is of a not only of its initial nature, that's Kitchel Shaito, but it's of a permanent nature as well. That's Kitchel Osud Lavo. Reish Lakish Omar Potter. Kiddusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita. The initial sanctity was during the time that it was around. Velo Kitcha Losud Lavo. But the sanctity was not of a permanent nature to include even the post-destruction period. Here the Gemara raises a question. It's a long question. You can see the long question marking that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a shin that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. All of these lines form the question. So should we suggest that the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish ties in to the following Machlokas Tanoim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. We'll read a source. At the end of the source, you'll notice a dashed underlined expression where it says V'kitchel osed lavo, whereby Rabbi Yeshua is declaring that the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash was of a permanent nature. Now, if that's Rabbi Yeshua's position, and we see in the same source Rabbi Elazar is disagreeing, it must be, as the Gemara says right after the source, the words of the Gemara there say, Lav mechlad Rabbi Elazar sovar lo kitchel osed lavo. Is it not to be assumed, therefore, that Rabbi Elazar says that it is of a non-permanent sanctity nature? If that be the case, so the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we saw just before this source, would parallel Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua, where Rabbi Elazar, who said it's not of a permanent nature, would follow Reish Lakish, would align with Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yeshua says it is of a permanent nature, that Shita would be able, we can align that with Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara after that will reject this attempted parallel. In the meantime, the Gemara says, Neimah de beplukta rosa Rishua kamifuli. Let us suggest that the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is parallel to the machlokes, the plukta, the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua. Desnan. The source begins, and we've underlined the names Rabbi Elazar and a few lines later Rabbi Yeshua. Om Rabbi Elazar, Kishoy Bonin Behechal, when they were building the Beis HaMikdash. Hoyu Oisim Kloim Behechal, Kloim Bazoros. They set up curtains surrounding the area that the Heichal would eventually be constructed, and they set up curtains around the area that would form the courtyard, the Azorah. The difference between these two areas is as follows, that when they were building, they were setting up the stones that would form the structure of the Heichal, the stones were set outside the curtain. And when they were building the wall that would surround the courtyard, those stones were set up from the inside side of the curtains. In other words, the curtains surrounded an area that would have run around the stones, whereas in the case of the Heichal, the stones were set up around the curtain. Om Rabbi Yeshua, Shamati Shoyu Makrivin Apopishain Bias. Rabbi Yeshua says, I heard that one is able to offer sacrifices even if the Beis HaMikdash is not standing. The Oichlim, and one could eat, that one could eat high-level sanctity sacrifices even if there are no, there's no, literally, curtains, but no Azora. For our purpose, it would mean there is no Azora. There's no wall around the Azora because it's in a state of destruction. Kachim Kalim, Meiser Sheini, Avabi Shein Choma. And that one could eat the low-level sanctity sacrifices and the Meiser Sheni, which are items that need to be eaten in Yerushalayim. And he is saying that they could be eaten Afa Bishein Choma, even if the wall of Yerushalayim is in ruins. And why is this? Why, according to Rabbi Yeshua, can these things take place even though the Beis HaMikdash is not around nor the walls of Yerushalayim? Because the initial sanctity that the Beis HaMikdash and that Yerushalayim received, we can call them, and we see this expression in Rishonim, it's called Kedushas Choyma. Those areas whose sanctity was dependent on walls, that kind of Kedusha was of a, not only of an initial nature, that's Kitchel Shaita when it was standing, but the Kitchel Osud Lavo, the sanctity is also of a permanent nature. So if that's Rabbi Yeshua's position, and we know in the same source Rabbi Elazar appeared earlier, Lav Mechlad Rabbi Elazar Sovar Lo Kitchel Osud Lavo, should we not assume that Rabbi Elazar disagrees and holds that it was of a temporary nature, namely that the sanctity of Yerushalayim and of the Beis HaMikdash was only when they were in extent? Omar Le Ravina Ravashi. Ravina addresses Ravashi and says, Mimai, who says that the parallel between that we should parallel the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish with this Machlokas Tanoim? Maybe according to all the Tanoim, including Rabbi Elazar, namely when we say Kuli Alma, we're referring to the Tanoim that we've seen here, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar as well, all agree that the Kedusha is of a permanent nature.
And each one, what they had as a tradition, reported. Each one said over what they had learned. Rabbi Elazar dealt with the method of constructing the Beis HaMikdash, and Rabbi Yeshua dealt with issues concerning the eating of holy food items. In other words, they are talking about two different topics. But as far as the issue of Kedushas Mikdash is concerned, both agree that it's of a permanent nature. The Chitema, now if you say that L'Kulei Amo, it's Kitchelosud Lavo, then Kloyim Rabbi Elazar Lomali, what is the necessity of having curtains for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash? If you're telling me that the Beis HaMikdash has sanctity even without the physical structure, what's the need of having the curtains? Answer, for the sake of modesty, that when the building of the Beis HaMikdash would take place, it's done without the public eye gazing upon it. In other words, the construction site is surrounded by curtains. And as far as the Hechal is concerned, because of the high-level holiness of the Hechal, we want, even before it's built, we want its area to be surrounded by curtains. We notice a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new point. The topic that we'll be dealing with is featured on the outside margin, the Nosei. Hama'ale, one who offers outside the Beis HaMikdash a sacrifice, v'ein bo kizayis, and it's lacking the quantity of an olive size of meat. The olive size being the minimum shear of haktorah. However, the etzem mashlimo l'kizayis, however, the meat is attached to the bone of the animal. Together with the bone, meat and bone altogether would, in our example, would have an olive quantity of material. And now this is offered outside the Beis HaMikdash. Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We will see another case at the top of the next Amud of Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, featuring the case of where the meat is missing Gezias, but the salt that is used in the offering of every carbon, together with the salt that's attached to it, that is the umelach mashlimo kezayis, that completes the kezayis quantity. What happens when that unit is offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash? On the face of things, they would seem to be, should be the same rule, but yet we will see later on that not necessarily so. And as a result of them not being necessarily so, it's necessary to teach this machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, let us say more accurately, these two cases separately. So the first case, Itmar Hamal Evin Bo Kezayis, the Etzem Mashlimo Lekezayis, one offers up outside the Beis HaMikdash a piece of sacrificial meat that lacks the Kezayis, but there is attached to it a piece of bone that completes the quantity of a Kezayis of olive size. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayav Reish Lakish Potter, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayav. Rabbi Yochanan says that even though you don't have an olive amount of meat, nevertheless, chibure oilin ko'ilin domi, that which is attached to that which is destined to be offered up, is considered as that which is offered up itself. So the bone being attached to the meat, just like the ola, for example, the ola korban is supposed to be offered up, that which is attached to the ola meat is considered like an ola. Reish Lakish Omar Potter. He holds that this is exempt. Chibur olin lav koilin damu. That which is attached to is not considered as if it is the item itself. As the Gemara goes on, the Gemara will raise the issue of the sacrificial substance that doesn't have a gezayis, but the salt completes the shiur. But as far as our shiur is concerned, that will be dealt with next time. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.